but it's good to see everyone here once again today. Moving along in our monthly study, my topic this afternoon will be the blessings of fellowship. Now, I can tell you, whereas typically most lessons are going to have quite a few of my own ideas and thoughts based off of what I've read, this particular lesson this afternoon will have very little of my own personal thoughts or things that I gave, but mostly it's going to be in a list format. There will be quite a bit of scripture, and if maybe something where I'll be reading the verses out, but it may be something where you might want to jot down and look into further. We're just going to kind of skim the top of this particular subject, but I think at the end it will be something that will be beneficial to us all. Well, as y'all know, 2019 is here, and it's in full effect right now. And today, as we kind of reflect, I can say that today each and every one of us have set our own personal record. Today, right now, we are the oldest that we have ever been before in our lives. But that also means that we are now as young as we will ever be again. And I guess if you kind of look at it that way, that's kind of a bummer. But as time rolls on, and as our journey here continues, we should constantly keep in perspective and focus on what is truly important. The topic this afternoon of the blessings of fellowship is one of those things that I think is important that we may sometimes tend to forget or maybe not focus on too much. I believe that fellowship is a very important aspect of our lives. And sometimes, even I believe, but I think all of us in a way, sometime or another, may take it for granted or lose focus. But if you think about it, think about what you've been through in your life. Think about some of the worst days, some of the best days, just overall. From the time that you can remember until now, could you imagine if you had to be in this world with no other person that believed the way you did, that believed the way we do? To know that here on this earth, you were truly alone in regards to what you believe. And only after you passed away and abided in your home in heaven, only then could you be with others that shared the same belief as you. Think of how lonely that would be. It would be a pretty rough and lonely life. Even more so than it is already. I mean, this life here that we live, as difficult as it is, with all the struggles and temptations that we may have, how much more so if we didn't have anybody else? But fortunately, this isn't the case. In fact, we have many friends and family members that share our belief in our Savior and God. So since 2018 is now come and gone, this afternoon we will go over 18 reasons why we should commit and embrace fellowship with God's people or His church. Number one, we demonstrate a sincere love for Jesus. In 1 John chapter 4, verses 19 through 20, the Bible reads, "We love because He first loved us. If anyone says, 'I love God,' and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen." Also in Romans chapter 12, we'll read verses 9 through 16. Here the Bible reads, "Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight." Number two, a great blessing we have is that we receive the encouragement of harmony. In Romans chapter 15, verse 5, the Bible reads, "May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another in accord with Christ Jesus." Being able to be with those who share like precious faith and to be able to be with those who believe in harmony with one another is a great, great blessing. And we sometimes may take that for granted. Moving on, number three, you experience mutual acceptance among radically different people. Just think about everybody that you come in contact with in Christ Church. Think of how different we are with one another. And yet we are part of the Church of Christ. We are part of the body and we are a family. Romans 15, chapter 7 reads, "Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God." Number four, we benefit from mutual instruction, encouragement, and correction. Romans chapter 15, verse 14 reads, "I myself am satisfied about you, my brothers, that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and able to instruct one another." The ability for us to encourage each other, the ability for us to be able to instruct each other, and when necessary, the ability for us to be able to be corrected by others who believe the truth is a great blessing. Number five, you gain opportunities for joy, mutual comfort, unity, encouragement, and peace. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11 says, "Finally, brothers, rejoice. Aim for restoration, comfort one another, agree with one another, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you." Also, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 18, the Bible reads, "Therefore, encourage one another with these words." And in 1 Thessalonians 5, 11, "Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing." When there are other people in the world that believe the way we do, we can lean on them and we can encourage one another and we can build each other up. Moving on to number six, we can use our newfound freedom for the loving service of others. Galatians chapter 5, verse 13 reads, "For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another." Number seven, you receive God-given opportunities to develop patience. Ephesians 4, verses 1 through 2 reads, "Therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love." Number eight, you become aware of God-given opportunities to grow in kindness and forgiving others. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32 reads, "Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you." Also in Colossians chapter 3, verse 13, "Bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive." Number nine, a blessing of fellowship is we receive mutual encouragement and growth that comes from worship before God. Colossians 3, verse 16, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God." Number 10, one of the blessings that we receive by having fellowship with one another as we demonstrate reverence to Christ. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21 reads, "Submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ." When we worship God together as His church, one of the greatest things that we can do here in our lives today, and we should always focus on that, and we should always try and remember that and how important it really is. not just go through the motions, but realize what our purpose is in doing so and the blessings that it gives to us and it gives to others. Number 11, you put yourself on God's pathway for cultivating spiritual growth. Colossians 3, verse 7 through 10 reads, "In these you too once walked when you were living in them, but now you must put them all away, anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator." Number 12, you gain opportunities to seek God's answer to prayer, especially in the lives of others. 2 Thessalonians 1 verse 3 reads, "We ought always to give thanks to God for you, brothers, as it is right, because your faith is growing abundantly, and the love of every one of you for one another is increasing." You know, we grow as we study and as we learn and as we pray. And it's amazing the blessings that we give, that we are given through prayer. But it's also encouraging. And it's a very good teaching moment when we are able to witness other people's prayers being answered as well. That may not even involve us. How many times are we thankful to God for not just the prayers that are answered for us as individuals, but how often do we thank God for the prayers that are answered for other people? I think this is a very important lesson, and I think it's a great blessing that we may not even realize from time to time. Also in 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 11 through 12, it says, Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus direct our way to you, and may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all, as we do for you. Number 13, you receive confrontation from others, making yourself less vulnerable to the hardening deceitfulness of sin. Now that might seem strange to hear the word blessing and confrontation in the same sentence. But think about it. Hebrews chapter 3 verse 13 says, "But exhort one another every day as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin." When we receive confrontation from others, and I guess that might not have been the correct word to use, but when we are corrected or whenever maybe what we think may be right challenged, we learn from it in one of two ways. Either we are corrected and we are changed from what we thought was right and it was actually wrong to the correct path. We are taught and we grow from that. Or if someone challenges what we believe, it causes us to go back and to study further and to confirm if what we believe is correct or not. And then if we are correct, we are even more firm in what we believe than before we were challenged. And this is important, and it's a great blessing that we have in fellowship with one another. Number 14, you stir up others to love and good works while being stirred up by others to love and good works as well. Hebrews chapter 10 verses 24 through 25 reads, "And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as it is a habit of some, but encouraging one another and all the more as you see the day drawing near." Number 15. You gain many opportunities to put to death your judgmental spirit. You know, people consider it to be human nature, if you will, to be judgmental. To always constantly be comparing yourselves to others and constantly worrying about others instead of ourselves. Hebrews chapter 10 verses 24 through 25 reads, "And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works." I apologize, I missed my place here. We'll be reading from James chapter 4 verse 11. James chapter 4 verse 11 reads, Do not speak evil against one another, brothers. The one who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks evil against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. Also, in James 5, verse 9, the Bible reads, do not grumble against one another, brothers, so that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. It is not for our place to judge others or to dictate what others should do. Our purpose is merely to spread God's word and let Him give the increase. And we are to use our example and to live a good example and let that be the judge for others. Number 16. You are free to confess your sins to a brother or sister and benefit by their prayers for you. James chapter 5, verse 16, it says, therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. So think of that. If we lived in this world and there was no other person that believed the truth, and you were the only one, there's still going to be times in this life where we may stumble, where we may need the prayers of others. But if it wasn't for Christ's church and if it wasn't for other believers of the truth, we might not have that blessing or that opportunity. Moving on to number 17. One of the benefits of fellowship is that we have the ability to grow in humility. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5 says, likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And finally, reason number 18. You make the gospel more visible to a dark world with the fellowship of godly people. John 13, verse 35 reads, by this all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 9 reads, now concerning brotherly love, you have no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love one another. In Titus chapter 3, verse 3, the Bible reads, for we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves of various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others, and hating one another. Also in 1 John chapter 3, verse 11, the Bible reads, for this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Also in verse 23, the Bible reads, and this is His commandment, that we believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as He commanded us. Also in 1 John chapter 4, verse 7, it says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Also, moving along in verses 11 and 12, it says, beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and His love is perfected in us. Then lastly, in 2 John chapter 5, and now I ask you, dear lady, not as though I were writing you a new commandment, but the one we have had from the beginning, that we love one another. When we love one another, we will look out for one another. When we're looking out for one another, we will want to share God's word with the world. We will want everyone we can come to Jesus. We want everyone to know the good news. And when we are shining as a light among the world, the darkness will retreat. And so that is one of the very best blessings we have with fellowship with one another, to be a bright light unto the world. In closing, I came across this there's a poem. And I guess as I was just studying this, just the poem's title just kind of caught me. And it was called One in Christ. I'm not sure who wrote it. I'm not sure what their belief is, or what they believe, or what denomination, if any, they are part of. But I think it was just a fun little poem, just to kind of end our lesson. The poem was titled "One in Christ." It says, "We are many, God's great diversity, yet we are one in Christ. Different faces, different races, yet we are one in Christ. Butchers, bakers, website makers, bankers, tailors, teachers, and sailors, yet we are one in Christ. Fathers, mothers, sisters, brothers, single, married, broken, carried, yet we are one in Christ. The happy, the sappy, those that love nappies, the ancient, the modern, the famous, the forgotten, yet we are one in Christ. Some hopeful, some hopeless, some cope well, some cope less. Some sure and some doubt, some whisper, some shout. Yet we are one in Christ. Those with abundance, those with need, those who are generous or may wrestle with greed, yet we are one in Christ. Elbows, tummies, knees and noses, kidneys, femurs, teeth and toeses. Some out on a limb, some protected, some accepted, some rejected. Yet we are one in Christ. A broken body torn apart mars God's image and breaks God's heart. And yet our Father knows how the end will be when all his children will sing in harmony. The bride will dazzle, her branches bloom, so add your voice to hymn the tune that we are one in Christ." It's an amazing blessing to be a part of Christ's church, to be a member of the body, to be able to associate and have fellowship with those of like precious faith, to build each other up, to walk the straight and narrow, arm in arm, hand in hand together. At this time, if you haven't obeyed the gospel call, you'd like to come be a part of this church, be a part of the body, won't you come? If you've made the great confession and have been baptized for the remission of sins, but for some reason or another have fallen away or lost your way, you can come and receive the prayers of the church. Whatever the case may be, we would ask that you come as we stand and sing the song of invitation.